Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast. Cousin Sal coming to you with my dear, dear friend, Dave Damashek. Happy Father's Day to you, Dave. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. I'm coming to you lobster red right now. Eddie Spaghetti is off the hook because I forgot the sunscreen. And I was keeping score at my son Harrison's Pony League tournament, Father's Day tournament, five games, lots of fun. But I'm the scorekeeper. And yeah, I'm red. Shaq, you talked about the sun, not the ones we raised, but the one in the sky here in California. Plays tricks on you. 11 a.m. game. No sun to be seen, right? A lot of foggy, hazy. I'm like, all right, I can get to 1 o'clock without sunscreen. And then I came back at 3. I'm like, oh, I'm past the bad part of the sun. Nope. Disastrous right now.
I think a lot of fathers didn't suffer what you did because they spent the entire Father's Day weekend sheltered inside safely watching sports. Unlike you, correction though, Eddie Spaghetti is not off the hook just because you made like an ass and went outside without sunscreen. Doesn't give him permission to do it. You both look ridiculous. You should hang out together as a cautionary tale. So that clarification but mazel tov on a beautiful, baseball filled weekend for you, Cousin Sal.
It was fun.
Very nice.
Well, you know what? I can't be a parent on the field because I can't make some of these practices. So that the other responsibilities, I'm like, all right, I'll keep score. I've been doing it since I'm 6 years old. I like it. It ended up being the worst decision of my life because you have to pay attention to every batter, not just on our team. I'm the official for the game. I'm the official scorekeeper. So I have to keep track of which Gio or Kellen, or if there's two Kellens, or it gets crazy after a while. And not only that, and I love the parents, but every 35 seconds they're asking me what the score is and how many outs there are. And I'm juggling this nonsense plus NASCAR bets and NBA bets and player props in the US Open. And we're going to get to all that in a minute. But yeah, big mistake by my part, that not putting sunscreen on and taking this detail as the scorekeeper for the team.
Well, yeah, you bring up an interesting 21st century thing, which is the names, you know, the lot of Jadens out there, right? There were no Jadens about 25 years ago. Now we're lousy with Jadens in Little League and otherwise. There are a lot of these names that have really cropped up. Atticus, that's a big one I've noticed around the kids. A lot of 7-year-old boys running around named Atticus in 2021. But yes, for any visitors, and I had a delightful weekend in part because my old pal Reggie Pratt and his whole family is in Southern California running around right now. Nice. And for anyone coming to Southern California, the humidity in the rest of the country, when you come here, the heat is almost entirely a product of the blazing orb in the sky, and fear it because you will get red. Now, the good news is as soon as it disappears, as soon as it drops below, apparently into the Pacific Ocean for the evening, nice and cool, like autumn. It's lovely. Enjoy it. Just be
there
careful.
You go.
Make sure you sunscreen. Also, don't do what dumb Dave did a number of years ago. I thought it was a revelation when you spray the tan on, like, oh, wow, so much easier than all that lotion. Problem is you can't spray it directly on your face. And I did that and paid a severe price when my eyeballs were nearly burned from my skull forever.
There are no shortcuts with the sun gods. They see it all. They laugh at us. See what they're doing. Hey, Jimmy Kimmel, my cousin and yours, is coming on.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be on. Yeah. He's coming on 35, 40 minutes from now. It'll be a lot of fun. He has a bowl game. Shaq, he has his own bowl game. This is insane. And it's true. I've known about it for a couple months now, and then they announced it. And it's not even the Jimmy Kimmel Live Bowl. It's the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl that takes place December 18th, the Saturday before Christmas. And it features the top team in the Mountain West versus the fifth place team in the Pac-12. Very exciting. We're going to talk to him about it. We should be able to have a lot of fun with that, right?
Oh my God. I mean, can you imagine? This is living. I've thought about it, and I've consulted you and him, and I've told you before, and I'll say it again. It must be now 15 years ago that I recall when Huey Lewis and the News were on the Kimmel show, and he summoned not just his pal Jimmy to the stage to join him, but also Sal, and the three of you up there belting out Huey Lewis numbers from Sports or whatever. I don't know what record.
Yeah.
It was Sports. But anyway, you got, and I thought, what a, I couldn't be happier for these two fellas. These guys, they love Huey Lewis, and what an out of body experience. Then I watched you get to, get into the squared circle in your beloved professional wrestling. And I was over the moon for you with that. And Kimmel has gotten to go on Howard Stern and since befriended him. These are I've gone on Letterman, his hero. These are all great things, but I don't know. Bowl game, man. I don't know how much Jimmy loves
it's
the
more
idea
of a
that,
goof for him.
This is
I think,
man.
Yeah, this is exciting. And we could have fun with it. And there's so many possibilities.
A bowl
game. The halftime show, the anthem, the there's so much we could do. I have a million questions for him. And he's probably going to turn down all my ideas, but I don't care. He needs to hear him. He needs to hear him today and now. The NBA. Speaking of Huey Lewis's Sports, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm watching anymore in the NBA. I really don't. It's the teams that advanced have stars with major flaws. Ben Simmons was awful. His team didn't advance. But Trae Young, 5-for-23, 2-for-11-for-3. His team advanced. Harden can't hit an open three. And Joe Harris will never make an open shot again. So they don't advance. But Giannis, miserable from the free throw line, but they go forward. What are we watching anymore? I don't get it. I don't understand what we're watching.
I know there are a million storylines to seize upon here, but you just kind of touched on the one that to me feels a little bit undercovered, is that the Nets, flawed by injury as they were, if Joe Harris, I mean, you know, legitimately, if Joe Harris makes a shot in a big spot, and he had multiple opportunities in game 7 to hit that big shot and just chunked it every time. I mean, he wasn't on the mark. It was nearly Peja Stojakovic airball
wide
level,
open
kind of
wide open. I'm on a bunch of text chains.
Real good looks.
Like, everyone's like, he's gonna be fine once Harden's okay and Kyrie's in the mix. I was like, really? His shots are gonna be even more wide open than they were? Because he couldn't make any. I mean, I guess he could rent the gym for himself and that would be different, but I don't see much difference, but that freaking Nets team, that was insanity. Just crazy.
I know. I really do feel bad for KD, as prickly as he is about everything. That was, I mean, feel bad. It's relative. Like, I always have to insert the asterisk of, like, let's keep in mind, everybody, these guys are worth hundreds of millions of dollars and they're playing sports and it's super fun and they're high-end athletes and all that. That's all good. So we can get that nonsense out of the way and say that I feel bad for KD, because it was elemental on some level watching that game. All this stuff about, you know, Kyrie and Harden and KD and what they can do. And it all just boiled down to, in a way that I was trying to think about, like, Jordan Bulls level. No, Jordan would kick it because he had good options in Pippen and otherwise. It got to a place in game 7 there with about 5 minutes to go in the fourth through OT, where it was just like, there was no mystery at all about what was coming. It was KD. And to the point that you could see legitimately professional level basketball players struggling. It was so obvious. Well, we have to get the ball in KD's hands so we can ISO and clear for him, that they had a hard time getting the ball to KD. It was like they couldn't even inbound the ball to him, because it was like, well, you're not trying to get it to anybody else. The only thing we're doing is you're handing it to KD and seeing if he can score.
Everybody knows.
Trip. I mean, it was kind of bizarre. But
48-8-9, great game. 10-for-11 from free throw line. Harden he was 2-for-12 from three. Valiant effort. He's playing injured. We get it. He organized all this whole thing. He had 53 minutes and a crazy game 5 minutes too. 10-for-10 from the free throw line, but they came up short and they sent that game to overtime. And you wonder with the big three. Here's the thing, Chuck. I can never enjoy this. Like, you and I thought the Nets, like, oh, who the hell is going to stop them? No one's stopping them. And we've only seen the big three play together, like, I think it was 7 times in the regular season. Who the hell is going to stop them in the postseason? And then Kyrie goes down and Harden goes down first and then Harden comes back. And you just wonder, but it was exciting because, oh, this didn't work, you know?
The whole idea of James Harden sending text messages and holding his team, the Rockets, hostage, and then getting the trade that he wanted, it didn't work out. That's fun. I like that it didn't work out. I know you have a whole thing. You're fine with everybody coming together. I like that it didn't work out. The problem with me is I buy into all of it, and I have too much money on a team like the Nets, so I can't enjoy their miserable downfall. I can't enjoy the Patriots, the pick six by Brady against the Titans, because I have them. Not only do I have them, I have them adjusted line plus six. So that pick six kills me. The dynasty falls. I can't enjoy. Why can't I do it? Why can't I step back and not bet all these monster favorites that we should all be rooting against?
It's not the use of dollars, Sal. It's where you're putting that money. You see, it's the same thing as we've had this discussion before, and I'm sorry we have to have it again, but apparently you haven't learned your lesson yet.
No.
When you go out, when Cousin Sal and so many people go out on, let's say, Father's Day morning, and you want to start the day off right with some nice donuts, Sal and so many people, too many people, pull into Krispy Kreme and they get themselves Krispy Kreme. That for now, and until proven otherwise, the Brooklyn Nets of 2021 are the Krispy Kreme of a Krispy Kreme donuts of would-be basketball champions. They're delicious, yes, when you put that big three together, but only under certain conditions. Oh, Kyrie's ankle and James Harden is 60 pounds overweight, probably from eating too many donuts. And KD is flawed with the Achilles. There are too many. It's the same thing with the Krispy Kreme. Oh, it's delicious, but gotta be hot. Okay, I gotta eat them in the store. Don't you dare leave the parking lot, or they won't be good anymore.
Well,
and gotta get this kind of like that.
It's a
too
little
many
more
conditions.
Specific.
Are they great or are they not great?
Well, it's like the Krispy Kreme is missing. There's not enough glaze in the store. Like that's
yes.
I think we're getting a little more specific than that. Yeah, they don't have three of their stars. They have 1.5 stars basically out of the three. But oh man, there's so much to talk about. And do they win together? These three win together? Gun to your head. Let's bet to the future. Now let's think they'll be favored probably, or one of the two favorites.
Yeah.
But it'll only be about 550 or 6-1. I don't know that this experiment and the process, which I think is, I'm not sure about the process too, Dave. I'm really not sure that it's a winning formula there in Philadelphia, especially with Doc Rivers calling the shots. But do these Nets win together, these three?
Yes. Yes, they do. And here's why. You know how like when the power goes out in your house, you're just like, what are we going to do? But you just kind of trust somebody else smarter than you is going to figure it out. That's how we operate as a society. Oh, wow. Climate change. Like, boy, thank goodness scientists will figure this out, right? And we just sort of rely upon that. We've benefited from that. It's sort of my same sort of hazy look at salary cap stuff and like what's possible or not if you're an NBA franchise and how you sneak guys in. I'm confident, as you saw. Remember, a decisive moment in this NBA season is LaMarcus Aldridge having to shut down his career. What happens if he's in there? They probably are still is still playing is the answer to that. I think they'll be able to find a suitable suitable body or three to plug in there to fill whatever flaws they have. They'll be a better version, in fact, of themselves than they were this year. And again, sort of like the Chargers, at some point, you got to catch a break with health. They were plagued by terrible health stuff.
Pretty much
the whole thing.
You're discounting the personalities, and someone could get pissed off and easily leave. Kyrie is such an oddball and could leave on a moment's notice. So you're true. Saying that these three are going to get along long enough to do it. And really, I think it has to be next year. I think they get sick of each other. If they lose again next year, it's over. Somebody leaves. Maybe Durant leaves. Maybe Durant goes to the Knicks. Who knows what goes on? These guys can do whatever they want anytime.
I know now it's been celebrated and deservedly so, but it is weird. Again, talking about relying on doctors and stuff to fix things up. I still don't think we're really fully celebrating. I mean, KD, that was if somebody tore their Achilles, I'm not talking about 30 years ago. 10 years ago, it was like, all right, well, there'll be a diminished version of themselves if they ever make it back. They're never going to have the quicks that they once had. Like, How long ago was that for real that KD did that? Was that 2 years ago even that he did that? I mean, he's the best player on the floor in a in an NBA, you know, what is second round of the playoffs, loaded with stars on both sides, and the best player on the floor is the guy who ripped his Achilles.
Close to three. It
was, and he's not 23 either. He's old. Yeah. Like, that's the thing that's going to catch him is his time is going to close the window on him because of KD. He's the best of the big three, as good as the other two are. So
absolutely. And then you got the other series, Atlanta and Philly. So now it hadn't happened. I want to get this stat right. So there were two blown 25 point leads and two home game seven losses all in 1 week. And if you look at June 13th, 8 days ago, the Nets were plus 125. The Jazz were plus 350. The Suns were plus 480. The Sixers plus 750. The Clippers, 9-1 odds. The Bucks, 11-1 odds. And the Hawks were 100-1 odds. So the Hawks, 100-1 odds, are in the semifinals against the Bucks, who are 11-1 odds. The Clippers, 9-1 odds, are in the semifinals against the Suns at plus 480. This is a week ago. This is not 3 weeks ago. It's crazy, this NBA. And I hate it, though, too. I can't take it because the blowouts, the weird thing about NBA Twitter is the best in terms of, everyone's all over everything. But if you hear blowouts, you don't hear anything about it, right? You don't hear anything about the NBA. But in any close game, it's like, this is why it's the best. It's like, okay, we had 13 blowouts before we just had this close game. But people don't really keep track of any of that. The NBA is the best. I don't know. I'm biased. That's why I like football. I'm a commercial.
Is it the best? I'm sorry. You're being sarcastic the whole way through about the best.
Everybody says the NBA. Everybody says, oh, the NBA. Look at this. This is why the NBA has the best product and this and that. It's like, okay, I feel like there have been 15 GOATs and not the Tom Brady GOAT compared to the three standout players like the Chris Paul and the Kevin Durant. I think you have the Joe Harris's and the Ben Simmons and the Doc Rivers. I think you could go on and on and on, the Julius Randles versus all the guys that stepped up and were consistent for five or seven games.
Yeah, this season, again, please don't resist it, fans of teams that are still in the mix here. Don't resist that this will always be remembered as the war of attrition NBA postseason. It does not make sense. It's hard to explain, and I don't think it will ever be explained. LeBron's attempts to do so, notwithstanding, why this rash of injuries this year. I think they were collectively a fluke. And you can resist it, Bucks fans or Hawks fans or whatever, whoever cuts down the nets, figuratively, not literally, because they don't cut down the nets in the NBA. Whoever does, people say, oh, this one gets an asterisk. You'll resist that and you'll say, no, but it doesn't matter. It's already there in our minds. Nobody's going into the NBA record book and and putting an actual red marker to a non-existent record book or history book. But they will remember this all-time weird year. And the thing that's weird now on that side of things in the West is that the Clippers are the ones who pulled off that crazy rally in a gigantic spot, because that would have just been thrown onto the heap of their shameful history. It would have just been another terrible chapter in this. And that's the team that did it, which makes it more bizarre, because now we're still in this window, Sal, of the Cubs win the World Series, the Capitals won a Stanley Cup, and all these weirdo teams finally breaking through. The Browns do put up 40 whatever in Heinz Field. Now the Clippers are pulling off a gigantic rally in a big spot. What are you to do, Sal? That's what I'm trying to tell you, friend. I'm here for you. I want you to have your fun. I like you.
I know.
It's very difficult to figure out which way to put your
I wish I could just be a fan.
When
I wish
you gave the game, you don't know who's going to be out there.
Well, FanDuel put odds on this just in case we want to put make it interesting. The Bucks are a favorite at plus 105. They're a huge favorite to take Atlanta down. They're at minus 500. I was surprised. I thought it'd be in the minus 340, minus 350 range. Trae Young, he's done enough to embarrass teams, although he embarrassed himself the other day, and they still won game seven. But Bucks plus 105, the Suns plus 150, the Clippers 8-1, and the Hawks 11-1. There you go. That's the NBA. Clippers, Suns, Clippers.
Let me just say this, though.
Yep.
Go. Oh, you're going to jump on those. I think with the Bucks thing, that's funny is it's kind of like if you follow the political races at all, like the general election.
When I don't. How's that going? Oh, we got a while.
It's going terrifically. That's all you need to know. just know everything is solid gold and go about your life. But it is interesting, like the one side, like one party, when they're fighting amongst themselves for the nomination, they impugn each other so severely. And then once somebody gets the nomination, it's like, oh, he's great, that guy. Yeah, or that woman, that dynamite. Nothing wrong with that person. Like, wait, you were just bad-mouthing them. That's how I feel about Giannis right now. It's like, Greek freak, my ass. He's going to blow in the big spot. Now it's kind of like, oh, yeah, he's awesome and had an awesome gigantic in the biggest spot for the Bucks in, you know, 25 or 30 years as a franchise. He came up really big despite the free throw shooting, which even wasn't even that awful despite the air ball. It kind of has that vibe to it, like Giannis is such a flawed candidate. He's awesome and is probably going to end up winning NBA title and be the MVP of the finals.
I think
dynamite, as flawed a player as he is.
The Suns already have a game on the Bucks, and that they're up 1-0. They won the game without Chris Paul, right? So we think he'll be back for game two. Not positive, but it was really Booker who went crazy with the triple double. Dating a Jenner. I mean, does she break this Kendall Jenner? Does she break the Kardashian curse with athletes? She really might. So there you go. The Suns are up 1-0. The Bucks are still favored to win the whole thing. I do want to bring up Doc Rivers with that Sixers, that whole Sixers thing. Doc Rivers seems like a nice fellow. 15-29 when his team has a chance to clinch a playoff series. That's the most losses all time. 341 win percentage, the worst all time among 21 coaches with 20 plus such games. I don't know. You take your pick. Is it Doc Rivers or is it Ben Simmons? Ben Simmons got trashed by his teammates, whether it was directly or indirectly. They asked Joel Embiid whether he'd like to see the Sixers run it back. He said that's a tricky question. They asked Doc if he could win with Ben Simmons as a point guard. He says, I don't know how to answer that. He picked the Garrett Cole right there. Garrett Cole. I don't know how to answer that. Ben Simmons, we talked about it. You discussed it on -3. I mean, he's a guy, he watches jump shots at LSU. He was a good shooter. He's the second best player on the Sixers. Obviously right up there for defensive player of the year, and yet you can't have him in the fourth quarter. You can't have him shooting. He doesn't want to shoot because if he gets fouled, he has to go to the free throw line, and that's a disaster. But that Sixers team, maybe the process takes another hit. I don't know when the process is. I know it's a guard league.
Can I tell you something, Sal?
Yeah.
It ended at least 2 or 3 years ago. This the window for the process. What a great... So, instead of everybody making fun of this, every general manager or every decision maker in any sport should be coming up with some lame name that is synonymous with the process, because apparently it just buys you decades worth of rope to continue to hang yourself. I mean, I don't understand what, like, the process. We're so far past the process at this point. It's absurd that people say it and actually apply that. Like, if it works, if we get one title, it's so far past having been worth it.
Get to a conference final. And look, and the process has left you with a great player in Joel Embiid, although I had him over 31.5 points scored, and he had 31. Good job by me. As your best player, and it's a guard league, and you got your centers the best player, and then you got guys around you can't shoot. I mean, like, you're making a big deal out of Seth Curry stepping up, you know? Tobias Harris, these guys.
Talk about just riding this. Talk about just riding the same thing for years on end. The one title that I always point to make something adjacent to an actual point is when the Cavs beat the Warriors. If the whole league is a shooters league, if it's all a 3-point league, then do what the Cavs did. If you can't match up with the Dubs, which the Cavs couldn't, then you bang them on the glass. That's why I thought the Sixers at some point, in the last week or so, I suddenly had the big epiphany that, oh yeah, the Sixers are going to beat the Nets no matter who they have on the floor, because they're just not going to be able to contend with Harris and Embiid on the interior. By the way, Embiid, don't care for, love the effort, love the performance, aside from the turnovers. You don't get to invoke after the fact, as we've discussed, you don't get to invoke your injury as some attempt to excuse yourself. Like, yep, That what I thanks Philadelphia for another great year. Thanks, Sixers fans. That's why I played with a torn meniscus. No, you don't get to bring up the torn meniscus after you've lost. We've already established these rules, so please play by.
There's a little foreshadowing too when he was like face belly down on the court. You know, 18 out of the 48 minutes, but yeah. I don't know. The Sixers, I don't know what I'm watching with this basketball.
I know. It did have that vibe to it, though, I will say that. And they pointed to it. In fact, Marv called out Giannis. He's like, oh, you hate to say it when you don't know. But I was like, is something wrong with Giannis? He was so gassed. And then at the end of it, you kind of pull back a little bit. It's not about Giannis. There was something noble about that's what we want in our sports. Is just, like, Ali Frazier 3, they almost died by the end. They both they had nothing left. It kind of had that feeling to it that these guys, for all, you know, people, all the cynics, oh, these are millionaires who can't. But I mean, for real, it did have that vibe of these guys are desperate to win this game from KD and Harden limping around and Giannis on down. It was grand stuff.
I don't know. I think there were 4 points.
I mean, they ran out of gas on the side of the road.
Total 4 points. Hey, Crown Royal believes being a Royal fan during the playoffs means staying safe, generously supporting your community, and drinking responsibly while rooting on your team. That is how to be a Crown on the court. My Crown on the court winner is the Clippers. Yes, Shaq. I know they're down a game to the Suns, but they won that big game 6 against the Jazz, best team in the West, without Kawhi Leonard, and were expected to play an early-ish Sunday start after Friday. I thought even without Chris Paul, they were going to lose that game, but they get my crown on the court either way. 81 points in the second half of that Utah Jazz game. Paul George, we apologize to him. Now, we've crapped on a lot of players today, but Paul George, 28-9-7, really stepped it up at the end. He had to. Brought that Clippers team as far as they could go. Maybe they can go further, actually. Terrence Mann, 39 points, came back to earth in game 1. He stepped up when so many have stepped down in these NBA playoffs. They win my Crown Royal Crown on the Court Award. The Clippers, Terrence Mann, Paul George. Hit it, Dave.
All right. I know we generally, and one of my life philosophies, of course, is let's not live life in the rearview mirror. Let's instead look to the horizon. However, I'm going to betray that creed right now to tip my hat to Kevin Durant, one of the 10 greatest NBA players of all time. And it honors the Nets because he basically was the Nets for the last several games of that series against one of the better teams that the East has seen in 25 years. They almost knocked them off. And when I say they, I mean he. And for all the slings and arrows, a recurring theme with me is, do you really, I mean, are people so young and unawares of history and the difference that free agency has created versus what existed? For all of the lionizing of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, and they would never chase rings like KD did, they were born into great situations. KD, sure, in the 21st century standard, did organize his heavyset pal James Harden and his flaky friend Kyrie, and they almost got it done. Larry Bird was gifted with Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale and so on. And Magic Johnson was drafted onto a team that had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on it. And the year after he got there, had James Worthy. Get off KD's back, everybody. Did you see what he did? He carried the whole Nets on it for the last month at least. KD, one of the all-time greats. Sorry the legs went out on you after 51 or so minutes out there on the floor. Still, does not diminish the greatness of your effort.
A lot of fun. Wasn't his fault. Hey, crown your game day this playoff season and be sure to hydrate and drink responsibly. All right, now the golf. This was great too, the U.S. Open. I was looking at that leaderboard as I was keeping score. Okay, Gio gets a double, but no RBI because there was an error on the throw. I mark it down. Like, all right, let me check on the golf. Oh my God, look at this leaderboard. Look at this top 10. Rahm, Koepka, Bryson, Louis. There's so many, you know, that it was amazing. In and out, everybody. And Rahm wins 10-1 odds. Big story, right? A few weeks ago, he's leading by 6, entering the fourth round. They hit him up on the 18th hole. They're like, nah, you have COVID. You got to sit. Still unclear as to whether or not he was vaccinated. Anyway, he's out there, devastated, loses out on $1.8 million. Probably would have won that tournament.
He's a father, a new father. He wins on Father's Day, 10-1 odds, two miraculous birdies on 17 and 18, and wins the U.S. Open by one stroke. Did you get to watch any of that?
I watched some of it, and I was raw by Saturday because DeChambeau didn't do what I wanted him to do, which was miss the cut. But
by the way, he had a monstrous back nine meltdown. I mean, he ended up plus eight.
Right.
I think that was. Well, so that's what I did with Mickelson.
The money, but I do that all the time. But it still was funny to watch.
I do that too. I had Mickelson to miss the cut, and then he just barely makes the cut, and then shits the bed the rest of the weekend. That is so. I mean, I should just double up on that because that's exactly what I happened. Although then he would come back and win the whole thing. But yeah, Bryson does this whole thing. It was weird. They were split screening him with Koepka, who has this meme induced rivalry. This is a lot of fun between them. Then a fan ran on the field and they said Koepka put him up to it. Did you see this? A fan runs onto the 13th fairway, hit a few balls, and then gets decked by security. How do you get a club in there? If they're doing the honor system for vaccinations, that's one thing, but you're allowed to bring an iron on that? How did he get the iron? Joel Solomon, find out how this guy was able to bring an iron onto the
court. I have no answer for that one. I'm glad you passed that one off. Really, that is insane. And like, he didn't take it from a bag. Now, I mean, like, you couldn't be walking around with a club, right? That's true. He must have grabbed it from the bag. I saw photos of him. I didn't see it live, but I saw the photo of him. I assumed he somehow got somebody's club. He brought that to the links with him? That's weird.
I guess that's more likely. So there's some thievery involved, too, in addition to everything, all the other charges they're going to add up. But then someone said this was Koepka putting him up to it to distract Bryson. Am I getting that story right, Joel? So weird.
I think it was Harry that said that. And yeah, he stuck the golf club in his pants. Yeah, that trick.
In his pants.
Jim Cunningham.
He had like a sitcom limp the whole day.
I know. Do you have a theory, Jim Cunningham?
Yeah, I thought maybe he just bought it at the pro shop.
Is that what goes on? Wow, they really have to rethink some of these things. This is unbelievable. Anyway, US Open was a lot of fun. That leaderboard was great. Hey, let's do our pick of the day. It's Monday. I'm going to hit us with some baseball because there's no basketball tonight. There is the hockey game. I know we'll talk hockey in a minute. We have Jimmy Kimmel coming on in 5 minutes, but Monday's pick of the day. I'm going Astros minus a run and a half. You get plus 102. They're 7-0 in the last seven. I guess I could just say they've won seven in a row, 4-1 in the last five against a left-handed starter. This Jake Odorizzi is not having a great year for the Stros, but you want to hear what's not good? Baltimore 15-36 in their last 51 games as an underdog. They were swept by Tampa Bay and Cleveland during an 0-7 road trip last week. Then they lost 2 out of 3 at home against Toronto. Now, this could be a game where Houston's going on the road after a bit, maybe a little bit of a letdown. I don't think so. This Keegan Aiken's going to make the start for Baltimore. He allowed 8 runs in 5 2/3 against Cleveland, his last start. He had like a 2.5 ERA over his first three starts, but he's a rookie and it's ballooned to 5.76 now. I think the season's already too long for him. I think the Astros take it. They win 6-2. Take them laying a run and a half. What's your pick of the day, Shaq?
I'm going to go with it's almost too obvious. I'm scared to say it out loud. I was wrong. Like the late, great Jerry Orbach at the end of Dirty Dancing, I thought the Lightning would reel off 4 straight. I yes. really thought they were about to do it. I thought they were about to force it overtime and to get to 3 in a row there. But the Islanders held them off. Mazel tov to all our pals rooting for the Islanders. And there are weirdly many. I never knew so many Islanders fans until about 3 months ago. Now, all of a sudden, we're lousy with them, Eddie Spaghetti. Either way. Braden Point, goals in every game he's played in. The NHL playoffs, 5 straight now, including these 4 games against the Islanders. Braden Point is a sure thing in scoring goals. Plus 154 to get one in this game. I think you roll with that one. And if you're looking for a play, take the money line with the Lightning. It's not that juicy, but I do think that they will get it done on home ice.
I want to talk more about this hockey series in a minute, but Pullock was the crazy
save. I don't. Let's be done with it. It's garbage.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because you're floundering all over the place with your picks and your takes and everything. I wouldn't want to talk about it either if I weren't you. But what wasn't there a time ashamed. If you touched the puck in the crease, it was a penalty shot? Or did I get that wrong? He made the save.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Pollock makes the save and like he's easily in the crease and he shoves it aside with his hand. I didn't think you were allowed to touch it with your hand in the crease. I could have sworn that used to be a penalty shot. Am I wrong?
You can't. No, yeah, you
didn't
cannot
he do that?
Yeah, you cannot move. You can't do it. Right. Spaghetti.
Well, then now, isn't that exactly what happened?
To me it was. Explain what happened. What is there some nuance that that we're missing here about why that wasn't?
You can't cover the puck with your hand and then move your hand in like a passing motion. So as long as you're like still with it, you could use whatever you need to block the puck.
That was my thought was the closed hand. My thing was I thought it was, I mean, it's such a weird thing when you have those giant mitts on that look like cartoon hands.
Yeah, yeah.
And like evaluating, is he closing his hand on the puck there? Like, I can't tell. He's got a fake cartoon.
So you could put your hand over the puck and finger paint it all the way in the crease and just shove it aside, but you can't close
your
hand.
That's the thing. You can't. Yes, that they are evaluating that. Yeah. It's a sport that also looks at you like, hey, well, is it a major or a minor penalty? I don't know. Is he bleeding? Is he literally bleeding? We have to evaluate if there's a cut there. That's the nuance of hockey, I guess.
Yeah, I saw that.
Evaluating if he made a. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do that. Hey, we've all had that dream of corralling a puck in your hand. No, tie game, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences. FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. It only gets better from there. Check out FanDuel's new promo every Tuesday, $5 Dinger Tuesday. Place a $25 or more wager on any player to hit a home run on Tuesday and get a $5 bonus in site credit for every home run hit in the game. Max $25. Do it. Same game parlays, fast and safe payouts. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook's America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet times, fun bet types like same game parlays. And just download FanDuel Sportsbook app now. Sign up with promo code Extra Points to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Extra Points. Spaghetti, real quick, give us a dinger here. A Tuesday dinger. Who hits home run? You've been good with these.
Before he speaks, I got to say, you should perk your ears up. I listen, again, Dave has been ice cold largely for a month now. And so, listen, I'll give you my picks because I'm required to. I don't feel confident. Eddie Spaghetti, however, redeeming -3 with his Tuesday dinger picks here. Now, shoot, Spaghetti. I was hyping you there.
I'm sticking with my Yankees here. One of the hottest hitters in all of baseball, Gary Sanchez, last 15 days, 5 home runs, 10 RBIs, 12 hits. And it's only in 10 games. So I like the Kraken to go deep here. He's finally kind of shaken the bad early start to the season. He's no longer really splitting time with Higgy. I really, really love Gary Sanchez to go yard here on Tuesday.
Gary Sanchez. That Yankee team is unbelievable. They have three triple plays. Three double plays would be good too. Three triple plays this year? Unreal. Yeah,
most ever.
Good job. Stretch. And to end the game. All right, here he is, my cousin and yours. He has his very own late night talk show on ABC. His very own brand of wine called Mangria, and now his very own bowl game. At least two of those three are true, right?
Well, the part about Mangria being wine or the part about it being mine? Not sure.
Not wine and not mine. All right. Jimmy Kimmel, thanks for coming on, Jimmy Kimmel.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. I showered and everything for this.
Beautiful. We want to get to the bowl game announcement in a minute, but Father's Day was yesterday. I hope you have a good. It sounded like I'm following it, you know, all, every step of the way on Instagram and everything. It seems like you had a nice Father's Day. You had a great gift from your daughter, Jane, which you posted. I think we have it here. You posted it on Instagram, right?
I did. I got a card from my daughter who is obsessed with, and both of my kids, well, all four of the kids are really obsessed with farting and pooping and butts. And
that happened.
There's some like realtor named Don Butts that has signs around town and they just can't get it. They think it's the funniest thing ever. But my daughter drew a butt and a green fart cloud come in. By the way, you know, brown's bad, but green is it's a whole different thing. So, and she wrote Happy Farters Day across the top of it. So we're proud and ashamed at the same time.
I love it. And then she had you fishing. I mean, she's got you pegged, right? You caught a rainbow trout.
One of the great, boy, if you want to get a little girl into fishing, tell her the trout is a rainbow trout, because all they need to hear is the word rainbow, and they are all in for sure. How was your Father's Day? You did not wear sunscreen for sure.
I was talking about it. You know, we were saying how the sun is tricky out here, right? So I took on the job, the task of scorekeeper for Harrison's Little League team. And I was like, okay, that'll be easy. I've been keeping score since I was a little boy. And it's the worst, because the parents are constantly every 35 seconds are asking you what the score is and how many outs there are. I was going to like spell it out in donuts that they had prepared after a while. I was getting so annoyed. And in addition to I have 50 bets on the NBA and US Open and hockey and everything else going on. But anyway, the point is 11 a.m. start. The sun hasn't broken through yet. I'm like, I'll be all right. And then sure enough, it breaks through at 12:30 and you're cooked. You're literally cooked. And that's what I did. Yeah.
You know what I was talking about, Dave? You'll like this too. I was talking about Sal's dad, Uncle Vinny. We were speaking about this yesterday.
Oh.
How when he would go out on the beach, it was not only was he not wearing sunscreen, he would, I think they would put olive oil on their skin, yes, which is as Italian as it gets. And then Uncle Vinny brought this. It looked like the kind of thing you put in your on your dashboard to protect your windshield. It would fold out, but it was reflective, and he tucked that under his chin. And then he had this weird little, it almost looked like a melon baller. It was black plastic, and that would go over his eyes. And it looked like if you were watching like on America's Most Wanted, they decided to just kind of block out part of the guy's face. And he would lay on the beach and cook himself under just mirrors pointing at his face, because the regular sun wasn't intense enough, I guess. And here he is almost.
Yeah, we don't see that anymore.
No problem. Yeah, I know.
Oh, he was doing that yesterday?
No. Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I forgot about those black eye cup things. But then you would look stupid, right? Because your eyes would be completely white right around them, right?
Well, yes, even stupider than like the kind of mirrors that you'd have in a dressing room at Saks Fifth Avenue. He had out on the beach.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm no one to talk.
I was going to offer up. Yeah. I was Jimmy Muzzletub. I really do think for me personally, if I could pick from the things that you've gotten in the last 25 years or so, a bowl game would be right at the top of my list if I were you, if that makes any sense. I was going to offer up your cousin to be the like, hey, Kool-Aid mascot or whatever with this red punim that he's wearing now. I'm just not talking about face. It's not a commentary on the condition.
I got you.
You're keeping yourself.
Yeah, no, I can.
You understand? Yeah. All right. I don't want to embarrass you in front of Jimmy.
So,
but we should talk about those things, but about the bowl game stuff. But very quickly, I wanted to ask you, Sal, too. Father's Day, I realized that my kids collectively would be terrible at the newlywed game, because they have to fill out those things of like, my dad's favorite blank in blank, right? You know, those kind of things. Like, one of the kids said, like, dad's favorite food is chicken. What? I mean, I was outraged by that. Another one said, my favorite sport is baseball. Shame the devil. What do you think we're doing over there? Do not pay attention at all. Well, I left the day a little wounded.
Maybe you should start making lists of the things you like, and, you know, ranking. If you started ranking things, it might be easier for them to follow.
No. Don't suggest. I do want to say, with Father's Day, I've realized it's just another chance to make fun of your dad, right? Like,
yeah,
I got a bunch of old man shorts. And when I say old man shorts, I was looking at these shorts. I was like, okay, they're nice, but I'm going to get these shorts 15 years from now. Almost identical shorts.
I got
right?
the same thing. Yeah. I got old man shorts too.
If I'm lucky enough to make it so long, I will get these same shorts when I'm 65 years old. And imagine though, if we did this with the women and we did this with our wives and like, hey, here's some Hillary Clinton pantsuits. And then you put them on and you point and laugh. But go. Well, walk around, old lady. What does that look like, right? It doesn't seem fair.
I think you're right. I think anytime, like, most dads are so excited to have to be getting some attention of any kind that they'll let you do or say anything to them on Father's Day.
Right.
But my father, we went to dinner last night. My two older kids, Katie and Kevin, came from their homes, and the two little ones were with us, and my parents and my sister, my niece, and we had dinner together, and at a certain point in the dinner, my father got up and went over to another table with another family and started talking to them and then talked to them for 35 minutes. He was over at their table. Finally, like, I'm paying the check. Everybody's getting up to go. I'm like, okay, Dad, time to come back to our family now.
Is he just bored with everybody? He's trying out the new material. I mean, it's like a comedian, right? Going to a different, like, he's trying out the
He's not trying out the new material. He's retrying the old material is what's happened. The old material that nobody wants to hear at our table.
I get it. All right. I love that, man. That's so good. Well, he could try it all out on December 18th. Now, this is the Saturday before Christmas. Oh, I'm so excited about this bowl game. Now, it features the Mountain West winner versus the fifth place team in the Pac-12. And this could be a decent game. This could be like Boise versus Stanford, or God forbid, Jimmy, the two schools that you attended for, you know,
God forbid. How dare you?
Well, set it up. UNLV versus ASU. You took classes at both. What? Just make it happen.
You know, I got my bachelor's degree at UNLV. I got my master's degree at Arizona State. And then I got my doctorate. I went back to UNLV and got my doctorate. So I went to both of those schools.
Yes.
That's the only real true part of what I just said. But I did go to both of those schools. And wouldn't that be the greatest thing if the inaugural Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl is between the two teams or my alma maters? I mean, it would be the great. And by the way, this is like something that the LA Bowl came to us and they said, we'd like to do something with you. You know, we'd like to do something to promote the game. And I said, jokingly, I thought, well, will you guys name the bowl after me? And they thought about it and they said, yeah, okay. And here we are. People seem to think I paid millions of dollars for this. I'm not Cheez-Its. I don't have that kind of cash to throw around to have bowl games named after me. But it really is. It's something that happened a lot more easily than it should have.
It's crazy. And, you know, well, it's going to be a long shot for you. I think UNLV was 0-6 in the conference last year, and ASU is facing probation. So, yeah, it is a little bit of a long shot. It'll be fun. But
it's also a long shot to have a bowl game.
That's true. That's true. And I love the assholes complaining. Not too many, but you know that people online like, they these games are so precious. These games that are typically sponsored by the Franklin American Mortgage, and there was a Bad Boy Mowers Gasparillo Bowl. Like, shut the hell up and go complain about
commercial real estate bowl.com.
Yeah, right. But on the other hand, Jimmy, I do worry, and you could catch some crap for this, that now everybody is going to think they're entitled to a bowl game. And Kanye is going to want a bowl game.
I'm okay with this.
And Logan Paul is going to want a bowl game. And is there a slippery slope effect here? You're okay with it?
As long as I'm the first, I don't, you know, in fact, if anything, I would take that as a compliment if others jump in and want games named after themselves. I mean, I'm sure it will happen, no doubt. Gotcha. I love the idea that, like, local sports guys in small towns are going to have to say the Jimmy Kimmel LA. It's so dumb. It's one of my dumbest achievements.
I listen, like I say, I rank it personally right at the very top there, but you have bitten off a great deal here, Jimmy. I don't know if you're aware.
All right.
There are many things you must figure out between now. Well, first of all, in the Big Eight, Nebraska and Oklahoma would finish off the Big Eight schedule every year. And whoever won that almost was guaranteed an Orange Bowl berth. And whoever would win, they'd throw oranges. A guy would get in the end. Jamel Holloway would be dancing in the end zone and people would pelt him with oranges to celebrate. Right. What is the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl equivalent of this? Mm. What do we throw on the field to celebrate getting a berth to your bowl game?
Well, I hope they don't throw me on the field. That would be, I guess that makes the most sense if you're throwing oranges on the field. Meatballs might be something fun.
I like that.
You know, meatballs could be good.
Good and messy.
That's good. Just marinara.
I think that the fans will have to decide that. Sal, I also want to bet on, even though I know it's a ridiculous long shot, I want to bet on the Sun Devils and Rebels.
Okay.
That game. And why not? Right.
We'll figure that out. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That'd be fun. As Sheck mentioned, there's a lot. There's the now you I treat it like you have access. You could
place anyone wherever you want. We know that's not the case. Although it seems like the hard part is done. You got the bowl named after you, so you could get whoever you want to sing the national anthem. You can go a couple of ways. You could make this epic and have James Taylor and Elvis Costello duet the anthem.
Oh, you're
or
right.
Or you could
you're
go,
right.
or you could go Armenian comedian. I have a feeling you'd probably go that route. Have you given that any thought?
I have not. I will now. I don't know what my responsibilities. We haven't had much in the way of conversations since naming the ball. I'm taking it. I'm just assuming that I can do whatever I want to do.
Yes.
I don't know that that's true. And I already have one idea that is, I think, going to be great for halftime. But we're going to have to find out if it's allowed. And but this is going to be something that everyone is going to love. It's a fantastic idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a scientific advancement in college football.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
A lot of times, like halftime, they'll do a tuition challenge or something. Is there money to be made in this? Or is it more stunty, like a Guinness record?
And it's different. It's simpler than that.
Okay.
It's very simple, but it will be very powerful. Let's
interesting.
Say that.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. What else? What else do
Jonathan
I have to
Kimmel? Know? Well, Jonathan Kimmel suggested that fans in attendance will get to bring their fly fishing rods and get to try to hook a player during the game, which that'd be a fun
that's
thing.
Fun
like
thing.
And would have a people like fans more and more like the fans have a role in these games, and so that would really be impactful to the final result if you were actually doing that. Like Nickelodeon, they did
idea.
That NFL playoff game.
What if we have, because since it's a week before Christmas,
yeah,
Santa, we set it up so Santa comes like kind of parachuting down gently into the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But then something terrible happened, like the parachute, hole forms in the parachute. Santa crashes to the ground and dies in front of all of America's children.
Yes. I love it. I like it. But didn't
that's fun.
James Corden do
it's
that
festive.
For his bowl? No, maybe.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, we got to go no. back.
All right,
we were thinking about we were talking last week about how these mayors or governors bet each other, you know, it's usually, I'm going to send you the best barbecue if Houston loses and like New York pizza goes like we were thinking about, see, it's tricky here because if like San Jose State plays Stanford, they have the same governor. So maybe it's the mayor. But we were thinking about the stakes really should be raised by these mayors and governors, and maybe your bowl game is just the place to do it. They have to stake like mass transportation. Like Jersey loses all form of mass transportation for a day if the Devils are eliminated. You think that's too harsh? I think we need to up the stakes when it comes to mayors and governors betting against each other.
Well,
no heat, for instance, back from school, you know, no heat in for the month of January.
Yes.
For the loser.
Exactly.
University.
Who wouldn't watch?
We cut off all forms of electricity to the
that's
state.
Right.
Well, people would watch for sure. Yeah. It'd be fun to cut the electricity off the moment at that as time expires.
Right.
No warning whatsoever. Bam.
Dave is going to want input on the uniform. He's our resident uniformant, you know, this. So
I know you are. Listen, that's predetermined, isn't it? I assume they have their uniforms already chosen for any postseason.
They do, but there's the non-small matter of what you and your friend Guillermo are going to wear. And like I say, you know, Nickelodeon, they could put who they wanted in the booth when they had an NFL playoff game. Does Guillermo get the gig? Do you get the gig? Is it a three-person booth? How are you going to work that? But you all, that the thing people don't know, you get the green jacket at the Masters and you get the gold jacket at the end, but bowl games all have their own blazers. Like they have their officials who go around. You need to choose that. That's not something okay. small. I'm more than happy to help you out there.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, sure. I'm happy to take any fashion-related input. I'm not, okay. you know, it's not something I had been really thinking about, but I guess we're going to have to hash it out. I would assume it will just be, you'd expect it to just be a pretty plain blazer with a patch on it, but that doesn't mean we can't, you know, we couldn't do something in, I don't know, it'd have to be something somewhat warm. Since it is December.
Yeah.
But yeah, think about that.
It's a great stadium.
A nice linen.
I know you've been through it.
Jimmy, you've been through it. I've been through it. It's a great, great stadium. I'm very excited.
It is an incredibly beautiful stadium. And yeah. Wow, what a way to really kick things off from a college football perspective.
All right. Babyface Joel Solomon, producer, you want to jump in here with an idea. What is it? Punt pat? What is this?
Well, a lot of games have the punt, pass, and kick, which has been made famous. I only feel it's right that you should have the punt, pass, and pizza contest.
Oh, come on.
Yes, this is makes sense, Sal. What is I'm sorry. This? Everyone would do this. You punt a box of rigatoni or fusilli, either one. We get there. You're punting, though. You're punting a box of...
Okay.
You have to punt. I see. Then you pass a regulation meatball, 3 ounces, no turkey, no tofu. It has to be a regulation meatball. And then you have to eat a personal pizza, 4 slices to time. Mm. Or I was thinking you have to run upstairs and deliver a pizza to section 200 to get the fans involved.
Joel, do you realize how offensive this would be if I was any nationality other than Italian? Do you realize how wildly, how quickly you'd be... your head would be put on a stake and perhaps displayed outside the stadium.
Was it the meatball or the pasta?
It was all of it together.
Get out
of
here, Joel. Come on.
Right. Joel Nolan.
If it makes you feel any better, Jimmy, this SOB who allegedly hails from the banks of the Three Rivers, his favorite hobby is knocking the city of Pittsburgh and its teams and its foods and its favorite son. But also, let me just say this quickly, Joel. I just want to say one thing that hat that you're wearing on your head, people can't see it, fortunately, because this is a podcast. But for the unfortunate few who do, you are definitely at minimum 12 years too old for that hat. That is for a much younger man.
Yeah.
Dave, this is a winning organization, unlike the hat. Playoff P, that is a P that will never exist.
When you say a much younger man, you mean like 5, right? Like 5 or 6 years old.
That's what I'm getting at.
Dave, I'm also wearing the matching pants, but you can't.
Jimmy, you are getting ready to go on vacation, you son of a bitch, right? Is this your last week?
This is my last week before summer vacation. I'll have guest hosts filling in for me. It's all you could really dream of is to continue to get paid while other people do your job.
Over under 84 and a half fish caught between now and September.
Way over.
Way over. All right. Oh, so that's going to be a disappointment if it's at 84, right?
And a good 4-day weekend. I could hit that. Yeah.
All right. Good. Sure. I didn't want to make it too high. That's great. Yeah. This 86 Mets documentary. I just want to talk about this. It's coming up in September. Oh, yes. We've seen them all. Nick Davis has done a great job with it. Crack cocaine for me. I can't get enough of
it. It is so good. I think it's one of those things it's going to cross over in the way that like the Jordan documentary did, where people who care nothing about baseball or the Mets are going to be glued to it because it really reminds you of how exciting baseball can be. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, even watching all the footage that we've been watching and just watching the way the guys swung the bat. Was so different, you know?
Right.
It was like, it was weird. It was like, you know, there were people who were in great physical condition, but there'd be guys who were nowhere near in great physical condition who just happened to be the best athlete in their town or state or whatever who could really play. And it's just so much fun to watch. And some of the footage that we have that hasn't been seen before.
Yeah.
Michelle, you were comparing, this camera followed Mookie Wilson from the field all the way into the locker room. And it's like, it really is. It's like a Coppola-esque or a Scorsese-esque shot, you know, like
walking through
really
the Coppola.
Incredible.
Yeah. After the Mookie Wilson at bat. It was just great to see. Yeah. I watched the rough cut with my son, my 16-year-old son. He's like, Dad, thank God this team won. I mean, they would have been the biggest losers of all time. Cause we go over there, their history afterwards, and some of them weren't agreeable with the law, say, but just so many of them. It's excellent. It's just so good. And as you pointed out, could go side by side with a Mets playoff appearance come this fall.
Yes, it could.
Fingers crossed.
Wouldn't that be something?
It really would be.
Yeah.
Well,
can't believe Jimmy didn't name the bowl game after Steve Garvey. Or Mike Piazza or someone like that.
I don't think that was a
noble thing to take it. Yeah.
I don't think you can name them after a third part. I think that may be over. Yeah, that may be like overusing my power. I was lucky to get away with this.
Listen, nothing is overusing your power. You got to get that out of your mind there. We need to focus on making this the most ridiculous spectacle of all time. But that we could do every year. So I don't know how we got
to. No, this is going to be a first class bowl game. And even the idea is, honestly, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to do some fun things, but nothing that will make the game anything other than great, because I want my grandchildren to celebrate the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl many years from now.
Yes.
Imagine, I hadn't considered that it could outlive you. Wow, this is
this is not a stunt. It's a legacy.
I love
it. Well, I assume anybody who knows the Kimmels and the Iaconos know that you guys are the ultimate hosts. I assume that at least one, if not both teams, crash at your place for the week of the bowl game, right?
Well, I'd have to have both of them because you don't want to show favoritism.
Equal time. Yeah.
No.
Exactly. Well, what I'm most worried about is I'm going to be down a lot of money from the NFL seasons, weeks 1 through 13 or something. I'm going to need some loot for Christmas, and I'm going to look into fixing this game. I'll try to keep you as separate from this process as possible, Jimmy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I'll go into each team's locker room and give them an identical motivational speech.
Play the recording. No one outside this locker room believes in you. No one believes in the other team either. So you guys got to figure it out amongst yourselves. Right.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight on the show. I wrote it down because I know you would know, Jimmy. Sarah Paulson, Frank Grillo, musical guest Lucy Dacus.
Dacus, yeah.
Dacus, good job.
Yeah.
Watch tonight. Jimmy, thanks for coming on. Very excited about this bowl game. Very excited about the documentary and you having the summer off. God bless you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. See ya. It's Jimmy Kimmel. We're actually cousins, Dave.
He left too quick. I wanted to ask him one more thing. Like, does he do, because you always heard that, I don't know if it's true, but Letterman used to say, he doesn't want someone better than him. And Larry Sanders had the whole thing when Jon Stewart replaced him as the guest host. Does Jimmy see to it that the people who guest host are not as talented as he is?
All right, he hasn't left, so maybe you can ask him.
The Lord sees to it, Dave. The Lord sees to it.
Amen. Amen. Right. There it is, see?
Thanks,
there's that nobility, selfless nobility I talked about.
There you go. All right, that's going to be fun. Now I'm really pumped for this game that's still 6 months away. What are we going to do until then?
I'm sorry. I had so many questions for him. I kept talking right over you. I apologize.
No, that's
an exciting time for everybody.
It's going to be
a bowl
good.
Game after all.
Really good. NHL.
The only thing that's not exciting is what? All right, but you don't want to talk about Joel's hat anymore.
Joel, what happened there? You really blew it with the Clippers hat and the Italian stuff.
You know, I wasn't sure. He was Italian. I didn't know that was the case. And I apologize. I had no idea that man was Italian.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to apologize. You're just not going to get a very good seat now on December 18th, right? That's what we should do. We should do a lottery drawing. Oh, we can have so much fun with this, right? Check. Like someone pisses us off. They're in the upper deck. Otherwise, they're in a luxury suite with us.
He's peeing in our bowl of fun already by saying, like, he doesn't want to disrespect the game. Like, that's where we part ways. Like, all about our fun now at this point. Yes. You know what we should have done? Well, there's still time to get in his ear about this. How about the rule change that I've proposed? We make the goalposts into a full box. Instead we put a crossbar across the top. What about for one game you get to change the rules to our taste?
That interesting
first one.
Well, Joel wants to make the goalpost into a pizza box shape, but I don't know, it's not good. Joel, that was bad. NHL, let's talk real quick. Isles Lightning tonight, Tampa Bay -210 to win the series. I think they're about 170 for tonight's game. -210 to win the series. I like the Isles plus a game and a half at -223. Shaq, you blew it. I don't know why. It's happened before. They were down 2-1 to Boston, down 2-1 to the Pens, and they won three in a row. But you're like, no. You were very confident in your sweep prediction after the 2-1, right?
I don't give a good goddamn about TV ratings. And somehow I hear you. Oh, no. Adam Silver bummed about Bucks and Hawks. Mm. By the way, I meant to bring that up too. Hawks, that does not count. There's no dignity in Atlanta Hawks fans saying this would be our second title because St. Louis Hawks already won one. I mean, that I can't imagine anything more bogus.
People got all over me too. Yeah, they're like Atlanta's not a big city. Like, yeah, I get it. They want Philly and they want the Nets in there. That's what Adam Silver wants, right? He wanted the Lakers. He's out. Now he's down to, Jazz Hawks would have been the hardest pill to swallow, but we're getting close to that, right? I trust me. I know how this works.
People like stars.
Yeah,
I know people like but younger fans, the younger demographic, it shows that they vibe more to the individual stars, not to the team brands as much, which is the ongoing issue for all of the NCAA and the NBA and the NFL and everybody else who tries to wrest back control of personnel decisions. It's all based around that. Like, this is bad for the sport when the players are doing it. Like, no, it's not. It's bad for you. You old curmudgeons. It's not bad for anybody else. However, you wring your hands about that for the NBA, but you don't express concern that it's bad if you get the Habs and Islanders.
It's not concern. First of all, we're very used to this result in the NHL. The NBA, as you pointed out, the best tournament in terms of ensuring that the teams that excel advance, right? Except for this year. That's why I was like, oh my God, Adam Silver finally didn't get his way. There's no LeBron. There's no Steph. There's no nothing. KD. That's why hockey, you just better get used to it, right? Otherwise, how could you love the sport as much? And by the way, I defer to you and Hench. I'm like, all right, you guys know about more hockey than I do. And then I listen to you. I'm like, really? What are they talking about? Oh, well, if the Habs play the Islanders, it'll be 0-0 and any shot 17 feet wide will count as a goal. Are you paying attention? The Islanders are the top scoring team. Back me up here, Spaghetti Meatballs. They're either top or second highest scoring team in the playoffs. 3.2, 3.3 goals. Spaghetti?
Yeah, the last I checked, they had the most amount of goals scored in the playoffs.
So what are these guys saying? And I know the longer you go against these other teams, you're going to have. Well, what are you doing here? Do you like goals or do you not like goals?
I like attractive goals. Oh, listen, fine. Bars, I get it. The blue Blanc et Rouge are flying around now and everything. It's unsatisfying. It has nothing to do with what we saw over what was a heavenly regular season, and now we're off the rails. We're getting closer and closer to two fourth place teams fighting it out for the most glorious trophy in all of sport. Fa and double fa is what I say to that.
2-2. What's your predicted both series 2-2? Who emerges?
I mean, really, after the last 8 minutes, now my picks matter. I'm going to take the Lightning on the money line now. I'm not going to do anything more than that. And I'm going to take the Knights on the money line. At some point, the skill has to win out, doesn't it? No, but I'm going to bet it will.
Knights plus 145 to win the cup. Lightning plus 155. You'll hear a lot more about this on -3 Tuesday and Thursday episodes, Dave. Very exciting coming up.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know how much you're going to hear about these bum series, but I guess we hear from Spaghetti and Meatballs with their hockey deep dive every week. Make sure you're listening for that one, and we'll continue to chop it up. I know we're headed towards a lean period on the sports calendar, but of course, never too soon to turn our eye to football, college and pro and college. Can't wait to dig in on all that stuff.
We are close.
NBA and NHL there. In the meantime, but, We're just out. It's not too soon, man. We can talk football.
I want to talk. I do want to talk. I just feel like Aaron Rodgers has us handcuffed. He really does. So, like, we go on at Fox Bet Live. Will the Dolphins make the playoffs? Like, well, Denver would be a good battle for that seventh position. So I don't know if the Dolphins will make the playoffs. Like, all right, who's going to win the AFC West? Watch out. Like, well, it's different if Aaron Rodgers is there. Who's going to win the NFC North? Completely different. Like, you know, I likened it to,
you're right,
you bought a wardrobe for freshman year of college, but you're not sure if you're going to Florida State or Madison. Like, right, like, how can we make these bets? It really all depends on this one guy and what he's going to do and where he ends up. So
I agree with you. I do think that the point is strong. I wonder, I guess it depends on what you think that's going to be, but the Rams are a good value right now to get to the Super Bowl. If you're looking at NFC, one way or the other, whether Rodgers is in the NFC or not,
right?
The NFC is a much easier bid than the AFC side. So that's one to try and respond to that. But the other big thing is, it really is another example of just leave it alone. Don't keep talking about it. If you're the person in the eye of the storm, it does feel like that the Deshaun Watson thing has cooled a little
bit. Oh, yeah.
And it feels now like, if you would have said 2 months ago, well, 2 months ago, everybody said, rightly, he's untouchable now and his career may be over. But if you're following this at all, it's starting to be like, is it possible that a team could go trade for him? Could something happen in Houston there? If he moves, obviously, talk about all bets being off.
Hmm. Interesting. I think his punishment should be he plays without a right guard. Maybe just one game.
All right. All time.
That's your punishment. Yeah. Okay. Right. Like, you don't like illegal touchings? Wow. You're going to get destroyed here.
That's right. Yeah. We haven't used our creativity enough to punish these guys. It's like, yeah, you have to sit for three or five games or whatever. No. How about we sit down the guys who help you the most and keep you from getting hurt?
That's it. Right. Yeah. You got to get out there. Hey, that might be the best point made today. It's up to Joel Solomon to decide. Good point, bad point. Which was the best extra point?
Unlike Ben Simmons today, you guys didn't miss much. You truly didn't miss much. So I'm going to give you guys both a good point. Dave comparing the Nets to Krispy Kreme donuts, completely true. Everyone just jumped on the bandwagon. Oh, they're a name brand and didn't really even look or try the other teams. And you guys pointing out Joe Harris from games 3 to game 7, he was 1 for 11, 3 of 8, 2 for 11, 4 of 9,
Jesus.
3 of 10. There are players that step up when stars go down. This guy stepped down. So Sleepy Joe Harris, really. Way to play yourself into a big
Sleepy
contract.
Sleepy Joe.
These guys.
I like it.
It's another Sleepy Joe. All right, Jim Cunningham, hit us with a bad point. Who made the worst point?
I don't think there were any bad points. You guys are fantastic.
This is going to be Jim's thing for how many more shows? Come on, Jim. Something must have bugged you. No?
Actually, the Krispy Kreme thing, I was lost for a little while there. But Joel just explained it, actually, to me, so that's good.
Oh, you got it now. All right. There you go. All right. Well, Dave's making faces. -3. We got Lemon Pepper Parlay. The Betting Academy will be back. Laugh Lines this week with me and Rachel Benetti. You got picks on extrapoints.com, the degenerate trifecta. There you go. Against All Odds will be tomorrow. And, we're going to do Race to 10. Now, Dave, we did Race to 10 Thursday. It was not a race at all. It was like the feet were bound and it was a gag ball in the mouth. We had no chance out of the game.
It was Harry's pick. But it was Harry blew it.
Harry took the Nets over the Bucks, right? The Bucks needed it. It was a game 6. And it was like 10, we lost 10-2 or something, right? Never had a shot.
On their home floor, it was so predictable that if nothing else happened, that you knew the Bucks were going to come out.
Just those
heat
first
it up
4
and
minutes.
Ready to roll.
Know. Harry swearing. You knew that like
that was going to happen. I couldn't believe it.
My God. Well, we're doing it again tomorrow. Suns and Clippers. Yes, get ready for that. Race to 10. Tuesday, and a reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.